Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I can't trim that tree. It's too big.
Oh, I was still looking at my notes from the last episode, to be honest. I'd written Undertaker Rooney. I'm not really sure why, to be honest. It's that little dance that Booker T does.
Yeah.
That kind of,
I noticed someone who had been invited to the WWE live shows ahead of us when they took place in the UK.
Right.
No less than Colleen Rooney.
Oh, she gets it. Because yeah. Wayne likes a bit of that.
He does, yeah. I mean, you know, I think that's absolute bullshit that that they come over here.
What, so they come over here and we do not get an invite?
No.
We have been selling the WWE Network for a long time now.
I think you know, we are certainly in the top five of most downloaded wrestling podcasts in Britain.
Yeah.
Britain's got 80 million people in it. So, I mean, that's probably, what, 65 million people listen? I don't know. There are ones that are a lot bigger than us, but, I mean, are they better?
Are they better?
I
no.
mean, they've got a lot more five-star reviews, yeah, but, there's more of them, aren't they?
Hard to disagree with Ditter,
yeah, and really? Actually, if we're talking about what culture, they've been very, very nice to us.
Right. I watch their videos sometimes.
Ooh!
What culture? I'm Wrestle Memus!
Oh! Yes, but like at Christmas when you got the ghosts of future and the present and the past.
Yeah.
We are also getting ghosts.
Spooky.
Because ghosts are Halloween.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at Halloween Havoc 1991.
Whoa, coming up from a grave. The grave you have at Christmas on your dinner.
Where they are, yes. And your turkey's dead. Hopefully.
Seriously, cook your turkey.
Yeah, otherwise, you know, your family will get very ill.
Let the juices run clear.
If they're unwell, I mean, that could actually polish them off. So,
if they're weak or infirm already.
Merry Christmas. We're going to be looking at the Chamber of Horrors match from Halloween Havoc 1991. Lot of, I'd say, love for this match on Twitter when we did the poll to see what the matches
really?
Do.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if it's love so much as it is regarded as being one of the... It's not like one of the worst matches of all time, but it always comes up in the conversation about the worst matches of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess bad matches are bad matches, but there's a lot going on here, so there's a lot to kind of get your teeth into.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of... It's just fascinating, really. It's not a bad watch. It's just... It's a fucking mess.
It's like if the camera people and the mixer, if the production crew had any clue about what was going on when it was going to happen, they could maybe get the cameras into position, but they're never in the right place.
But also,
in the, right place.
The wrestlers have done no... There's eight of them. They have done no prep for this at all. And the other thing is, they're making up the rules as they go along.
Yeah.
So, we're going to put this in a bit of context, right? So, 1990 in WCW. WCW is still, at this point, quite an old-fashioned organisation. Mm. Within 10 years, it will be challenging the WWE for supremacy. But at the moment, it's still a sort of regional, southern-based wrestling company. Mm. And they are super aware that they are number two to WWE and are not getting any closer. So, in 1990, they decide to make some changes. One of the guys who's been booking in 1990s, a guy called Ole Anderson, a wrestler very big in the 70s, carried on through the 80s, and he had probably one of the most disastrous runs in booking history. And in 12 months, they got rid of him. The company had lost $7 million in 1 year with him as the booker.
Yeah.
That would be very small fry to what they'd lose when they became a big company. I mean, they were losing tens of millions and then hundreds of millions. It was a real disaster. But at the time, you lose $7 million when you're a small company like this, you have to make big changes. So, Dusty Rhodes had come back after a short run with WWE as Dusty Rhodes, sexy policeman hat, polka dot.
Yes.
Fun of a plumber. And he came back to WCW to take over the booking committee. And one of the things that Dusty Rhodes was a brilliant creative mind. He came up with the concept of Starrcade and the Great American Bash. He invented the War Games matches, which were huge in the 80s and have since been brought back by NXT to great acclaim. You know, he was a really, really brilliant, brilliant wrestling mind. This was not his greatest period of booking. And one of the things he was trying to do was he was trying to emulate the success of WWF, but they just didn't have the budget. And so he was coming up with more theme matches, which he'd done. And the ones he came up with in 1991 were the Chamber of Horrors match and then a thing called Battle Bowl. And both of these looked on very, very badly now. They were just attempts to do new formats by a creative who's slightly running out of juice here. And the Chamber of Horrors match was such a sort of badly planned match that they didn't actually explain what it was until it sort of started on the actual pay-per-view itself.
Right.
So they kept on saying it's a Chamber of Horrors match, and you were kept entirely in the dark. What becomes clear watching it is that actually nobody had a clue what it was. So it's two rings covered by a cage, and then there's ghostly accoutrements like a coffin and handcuffs.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Chainsaws that aren't used.
So there's a big cage that's there,
yeah,
and it's over the ring.
Yeah.
And then another cage appears inside the ring, and it's like a turducken of ideas and how it's executed.
Yeah, well, my favourite bit about that is when the commentators, Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone, are explaining it. They have to say, they're all going to get in, and they're going to fight, and they have to say, and at some point, a electric chair will lower from at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
It could have gone for 3 hours. And then it just makes no sense.
You know what time it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Just give us the time.
Yeah.
Five minutes.
They fight for 10 minutes or until two members of the thing are bleeding.
Yeah.
Again, how long has it taken us, having not had a conversation about this, to work out a thing that would actually make this work?
But look, when you've got a hammer, everything looks like a nail. They bought the electric chair from, they got it from an old spook house in a carnival.
The best thing about this is when Abdullah the Butcher, I don't want to do spoilers here,
no.
When Abdullah the Butcher gets in the electric chair and is electrocuted, the ring catches fire. The actual canvas of the ring catches fire. Now, if I didn't think it had been worked out, like if I thought, actually, no, they probably have worked it all out, the moment the ring actually catches fire would be the bit where I go, no one's got a clue what this is.
No one has,
this is the first time this has been turned on. There's a magic shot where they cut to, and Jim Ross, who is like, at the time, certainly the best wrestling commentator in the business.
He looks so young. This is the youngest I've ever seen him. He looks so healthy.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, he's Bell's palsy. I don't think has been, he either has not suffered from it yet or, you know, it's far more mild than it would become. And also, you know, the fact that he's like AEW's lead announcer, he's getting a certain amount of flack for his slight sort of contempt for some of the elements of the product they put out, which he then puts on air.
Right.
And it sounds a bit weird when you're a commentator to be a bit negative about the company you're working for. But he is still at the top of his game. And we're watching him here. This is what? 1991. How many years ago is that? That's nearly 20. Is that right? Is that more?
That's more.
It's nearly 30.
Nearly 30.
Christ alive.
But I mean,
he's still at the top of his game.
Well, he's still at the top of his game, and he's criticising what AEW are putting out. I mean, what was he putting out? This is what you had a commentator on before, so,
but
mate, don't give it
the
big
licks. Swallows this. He used to have a couple of like stock phrases that he'd use when he wanted to tell the people at home who were wrestling fans that he thought this was shit.
Right.
And he'd say things like, this is bowling shoe ugly, and that used to mean they cannot do the job that they're supposed to do here. In this one, he pretty much takes it and he sells the whole thing. There's a fantastic bit where he has to say, he's obviously got it written down and it's obviously not like really in his head, and he's like, it's a very simple thing, all you have to do is you have to climb up to the on-off switch, and once you put the man in the chair, so long as you depress the lever, that will then, and it's like, this is taking too long. They cut to the lever to show it in the thing. Good, it's all coming together now. Good, he's talking about it, we'll cut to the lever.
Yeah, we don't see the lever. I'm fairly certain we don't see the lever at the start. And I was like, where's the lever?
See it halfway through, and what you notice is the bit at the top says off and it's in the on position already. Right, it's a fucking nightmare. Oh, you go back a bit later and it's flipped upright. It's all just, what is going on? The whole thing about when the people in the match are Sting, who would become WCW, one of their franchise players. He was sort of like their answer, really, to the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, because I've not seen anything of Sting, really, because everyone talks about him and I've not seen much of him.
Yeah, you will get to see him at one WrestleMania, right. And it will be right at the end of his career. Mm. But in this point, he is the you had Ric Flair, who was always the perennial champion in WCW, who was left by this point for WWF. And you have Sting, who was the big babyface. And he was very underrated, Sting. He had the youth appeal of the Ultimate Warrior, but he was a much better performer in the ring, much more charismatic. And you have him, your franchise player, in with the Steiner brothers, who are one of these great hard-hitting babyface tag teams. Who's the fourth?
It's Abdullah the Butcher.
Abdullah, Cactus, Vader, and Diamond Stud. Jesus Christ, who's the fourth person in the Chamber of Horrors?
Cactus Jack. No, Sting.
El Gigante.
El Gigante.
So easy to forget because he just disappears into the background, being only 7'11".
Well, he's not dressed in his stupid costume, is he?
Christ, he's bad in this and he's bad in everything. No, at this point, he is still very much the Argentinian basketball player who Ted Turner moved over to the wrestling thing. Now, he is, again, a match like this, it really doesn't play to his strengths because you can't see a fucking thing that's going on at any point.
No, exactly.
My favourite thing is they have the eight men in there, or seven men and El Gigante, as most people would refer to this match, because obviously they forget he's in it. There's a guy who just comes out of a coffin who is about 5 foot.
What? So a guy gets out of there's a coffin, by the way. Sorry, guys. Yes. Sorry, we didn't mention there's
it's
a coffin.
It's so hard to explain.
There's a coffin. Sting throws the coffin lid, actually, on Cactus Jack's hair.
That's one of the good, like, violent bits in it, yeah.
But it's a little bit shit because it's a little bit too light for a wooden coffin. Yeah, it's not too heavy, is it?
He slightly sort of, like, chucks it up to fall down, but it takes a bit longer to come down than you'd imagine it should.
So Cactus Jack is already reacting to it.
Guy who comes out, I was just thinking about this, and it's like, you can see them going, oh, it's great, and the coffin opens and there's a guy and he just attacks everyone. And it's like, but he's tiny and they've got two teams of four and he's just one tiny little man. And what? He's going to attack all of them?
Make it someone.
Yeah.
Make it someone surprising.
Yeah.
Or don't make it just a man.
Or you have to go, well, if there's four, you know the ghouls who turn up halfway through, right? If there's more of them, then they can attack everyone.
Yeah.
One little man with a mask, he's not going to be able to do anything. He's going to get hurt. It's terrible for him. Oh, it's going to be awful, isn't it, for them, when I burst out and they just really hurt me, you know, in an instant. This is just, I mean, it's all over. The fucking, the referee's head cam.
Oh, wow.
It looks like he's got this massive, like, if you met a kid who was a bit slow, who was like, I'm an astronaut, and he's got a sort of helmet that he's made, and he's buzzing around the park in it. It looked like that. It's so shonky and appallingly shit.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When they try and be like WWF, they just show how far they have to travel to be like WWF.
Yeah.
When they're just doing wrestling and it's, you know, the focus is on that, WCW and NWA were very, very hard to beat. As soon as they started going, we can take them out of their own game. Get me the referee.
Get me the referee. I like
Jeremiah, you get in the coffin. You're going to come out.
We go Maplin. But like, they sort of, they make a big deal out of this camera, and I was like, oh, I wonder what the technology was like. And obviously you don't see the camera because it's built in the hat.
Yeah.
It's a bit Homer Simpson with his big hat. Don't look at the, just don't look at the hat, Apu. Don't look at the hat. And
the first time they use it, there's immediately static and video roll. Not even added on after.
Immediately fucked up. It goes immediately Robocop half dead.
This isn't like a sport thing that they're trying. This is a television company that have been putting out wrestling for 40 years and they have a new thing and it's a camera on someone's head.
I know.
And the camera doesn't work. It's just amazing.
And he's always in the wrong position. He doesn't know, you know. He's not really refereeing. Standing there.
Jim Ross says the line. He says, this is much like a battle royale concept, but we have no pins or submissions. And you can tell he's almost going, or do
this?
We?
No, exactly.
Oh, Rick Steiner grabs Abdullah and he sort of belly to bellies him into the chair. And I think Jim Ross shouts, Rick Steiner's in. No one near the lever, which you can see on the right side of your screen on the side of the cage there. Just amazing.
No, it's supposed to be in the down position. It's a one hit kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's been on. It's spent the battery. The capacitors have been blown. So when you charge up, you go on, off,
remade,
and then on.
And it's worth saying as well, there is no wrestling in this. So you've got four.
There's no fucking room.
Four big names on both sides. And they absolutely, there is no room. I don't think the people like in the auditorium can see what's going on.
It's like just have two or three or four people.
Yeah.
The ring is already small because there's so many people there. Yeah. The part around the ring is small because there's a cage there. Why don't we make it 80% smaller by putting a fucking chair in its own cage? Why did it need to be in a cage? Just get it. Just slam a fucking chair down. You don't need a fucking.
There's only one match, which is, again, I think only pretty much happened once, and it is an amazing, amazing match. Because again, it's that thing of you've just not thought it through.
No,
and this has not been thought through by anyone, not by the wrestlers, not by the commentators, not by the creators. All of it is bad.
Cactus Jack turns up with a chainsaw. We know he's not going to use it.
Do you know what?
We know he's not going to hit anyone with it.
He then, before he gets in the cage, I think he puts it down, and Rick Steiner then picks it up and sort of goes, oh, I'll have this, and then puts it down. What are we doing? What is this?
Imagine if Cactus Jack just jammed it into someone's back. Cut down Giant Gonzalez like a big orc.
Taking off
blood everywhere.
Just his hand. Just.
Just do anything. Like, grind it against the side of the cage. Make it sound. Give us some spark. Do something awesome.
Oh, it's so appalling. The other match that I've seen that was like this, in sort of like when no one's thought it through, it was called a shark cage match. And it took place, I think, in Memphis in the early 80s. I think there was a guy called, ooh, gosh. Oh, I can't even remember.
Ooh,
Don
gosh,
Leo Jonathan.
Name.
Ooh, gosh.
Ooh,
Mr.
Gosh,
ooh, gosh. And it was like a shark cage that you'd lower into the water, but it was about 6 foot tall by probably about 4 foot wide.
Right.
And they had two wrestlers inside it, and they had to have a match where neither of them could crouch down because the other one is filling up the available space. And so they're just in it, and it just rocks back and forth for about 15 minutes. And again, not thought through.
No.
And this one is, I mean, the wrestlers also, they are at fault here, because people like Vader and El Gigante, you just see every now and then on the fringe, they'll just be hitting another one on the back. They are doing nothing. It's so appalling, this match, in its execution. Weirdly, I find it quite enjoyable to watch.
Well, now, yeah.
It was such a fucking mess that I was just, like, I'm enjoying this.
Just get one of those pirate ships from the fair that swing back and forth and let everyone have a scrap on it. Like, unless you're really stupid, you're probably not going to hurt yourselves. So one of those big centrifugal things.
That'd be great.
Have a really
that'd be great.
Match.
And have a countdown so that every minute or so it stops, you have to fight, and then it just stops
it
up again.
It begins again, yeah, and you've got to find your position.
Watch the shit out of that. Fucking brilliant.
More excellent booking, guys. Come on.
But yeah, this was just, I mean, it is seen as being one of the worst matches of all time. I would say, in its favour, it's not boring. It's just...
They throw everything at you,
they do, and it's a real mess.
What were the ghouls about?
I know.
The ghouls are like, are they employed by by the hospital? Well, but, why were they dressed like kind of ghosts?
Why would they have gone to like a ghost hospital? Because... Ghosts don't need medics. They're ghosts, right?
No.
The worst has happened. So what are they? Are they there for the corpse or something? I'm corpse. And Abdullah goes in, goes, bzz, 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 and he does quite a good job looking like a, you know, big fried Abdullah.
Yeah.
And
some voltage, wouldn't you? I mean, must be career weight. He gives the new meaning to the word side boob.
He
Because he's got boobs on his side.
Oh, this is also one of the few times I think that Abdullah actually agreed to be the person who, he didn't lose the fall, but he is the loser in the match, which is very rare in Abdullah's career.
Really, right? Well, I guess he's the focus, isn't he? I guess he's I guess he wins because he's the focus.
Yeah,
of the
he is very
he just
much
gets
a,
to knock some ghouls off.
He does. Well, as soon as he comes out, apart from anything else, so the electric chair, what does it do? I think it was always sold on the idea that it would kill the wrestler, that they'd be dead.
Yeah.
But then so it happens, and Abdullah very definitely dies in the chair. He makes that clear.
Yeah.
And then he gets back up.
And he comes back because he's massive. Like,
he's with Cactus Jack. And there's a great bit where he goes for the ghouls. And they're all like, oh, not going to be eating that body tonight. And there's a great bit where he's coming out for the thing and four men are there putting back the ramp so that it's there. And he kicks one of them in the head and the guy is just like, the fuck?
I'm just admin.
Yeah, that actually is an assault. Can you not do it? Can you not do it to all the ghouls who are clearly in on this, right? I'm the road crew.
He does give him a good kick.
He does.
And good, you're too late.
There's a part of me that goes, is Abdullah just like, that guy is near and this is my character?
Yeah.
Or is he like, I seem to remember there's something about, like, attacking the ghouls. He just doesn't, like, is that a ghoul?
Do I have to attack just the ring man?
Yeah.
The man who puts the ring
and
off?
Then the ghouls all get attacked. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense and I sort of love it for that. What? I just want to find out the motivation of the ghouls.
Who are the ghouls?
This is the
if
big
you were a ghoul, do let us know.
This is if you're into like wrestling books, there are probably, I'd say, 200, 300 books just called What Are the Ghouls Doing?
And it's
people's
now.
Own theories on what each of the ghouls were doing.
Yeah, where did the ghouls go?
Where did they go after?
Where the girls are?
Did they go back? Did they go back?
Girls
and
ghouls.
That was a successful night, actually.
we all
got beaten up.
Excellent ghouling.
But yes, we were hoping, we thought we were going to have a delicious corpse to feast on, but never mind, always tomorrow night.
And the more I learn about Scott Steiner, who's obviously involved, and his disgusting caved-in chest, I cannot get enough of. Like, it's just, I can't remember who I sent a picture of Scott Steiner to, but he's always in my mind. He's always in my thoughts. The Undertaker's got it as well. These kind of wrestlers who have had so many injuries in their pectoral muscles.
Yep.
Their tits just start separating, and it starts to look like it's caved in.
You get the big hole. So he's actually had a quite early on a big tattoo done over the top of it.
Right.
Which,
okay.
I mean, yes, it hides it, but I mean, it's not. You don't go, that guy's normal. You just go, oh, he's got a big tattoo on his chest. It makes it look like it's sunken. Oh, no. No, he's just turned a bit. I can see he's got a frisbee lodged in it. It's an aerobie. It's massive.
One of those Nerf rugby balls. Those Nerf footballs are jammed in it.
Yeah, Scott Steiner is a fantastically... He's just a great, proper, old-school, mad wrestler who is absolutely... just unpredictable. In this, at this point, he's very much a clean cut.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay,
I think basically they sort of had him pegged as being a future world champion,
right?
And he was a real.
He looked the part.
He was so well built, and he was doing the Frankensteiner, which is now better known as a Hurricanrana.
Right.
But a Frankensteiner was really the first time we'd seen that in North America used on a regular basis, and he was a huge man doing it.
Right.
He was fantastically good in the ring, but they never pulled the trigger. I think slightly as well because he had a bit of a temper, and over the years there are a number of incidents, which I'm sure we'll get to at some point.
Yeah,
in WrestleMe,
Jane Mel Hat.
Yeah,
friend of the show, Sean Cleaver, who's been at a couple of our live shows. Mm-hmm. He sent me a DM with the Scott Steiner workout DVD.
Uh-huh, amazing,
oh, mate. Like, it's him, right? Have you seen it?
No.
It's him in a workout room, and he's doing like curls and stuff, and he's doing lifts and stuff, and he's like big bits of wood, and then three women appear in like workout clothes, and he starts lifting them. One's on his shoulder. He's just jamming his face into her boobs.
Is this when he's the big bad booty daddy?
Oh, I don't know.
Is he talking about his freaks?
No. Oh, maybe.
He becomes in his like WCW in about 1999, 2000. He becomes Big Papa Pump.
Big Papa Pump.
You said that like a charge word.
It's
a big. Papa Pump.
It sounds like a kid's cartoon to get people to use their asthma inhalers properly.
Yes. Well, this was not for kids. It was essentially him shouting along the lines of, you know, I'm your big bad booty daddy, holler if you hear me.
Right, okay.
He was absolutely...
dreadful.
Freakzilla, it's, I believe, one of his nicknames as well.
Right, okay.
He became this really weird, hyper-sexed nightmare man.
Well, in this workout DVD... He's going. Come on. Curl. Curls for the girls. He's just constantly chanting like a mantra. Curls for the girls. It is fantastic.
There is a whole subsection of wrestlers who did fitness videos.
Yeah.
So there's a great workout with the British Bulldog one. I've got a DVD of that at home.
Fucking lift that, you bastard.
Dynamite. Can you inject me with milk? There's a fighting fit with Rowdy Roddy Piper is another classic where he's essentially giving you,
lift this fucking thing.
It's like a kid's workout tape.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't age well. It's just weird. It's the sort of thing as well, if you had on your hard drive and that was, you know, they were investigating your laptop and that was the first thing they'd open, they'd go, well, it's worth keep diving on this because there's definitely stuff coming. It's shockingly good. So Chamber of Horrors 1991.
And wasn't it just...
A one-off that they never, ever did again. Which is
a real shame.
And credit to the audience in this who are getting to the spirit of things by being quiet as the grave. Seriously, though, I would love to find out more about the ghouls. I'm well into
just
the ghouls.
It's a podcast, Finding the Ghouls.
I dream of...
Looking for ghoulies.
I just dream of being able to, like, you know, just do something in wrestling that enables me, when I'm a bit older, to say to my child, see this. See the ghouls. See the ghoul at the back. That's daddy.
I'm just saying, like, imagine how hard it is to locate anyone.
Mm.
Like, they'd have no record of these men.
No.
They would just be the accountant and the bloke who works in the office.
These guys will have forgotten they ever did this.
Yes. Would they really?
Well, yeah. I mean, due to cutbacks, they had to use permanent white powder, so they couldn't get it off. These guys were literally, they became ghouls. Oh, man.
It was bloody good, though.
Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, Mark.
That was... I enjoyed that a lot. Once again, I'm going to say it because of the ghouls. Right?
Coals for the ghouls.
Oh, you've ruined it now. It's going really well, though.
Sorry, mate.
Please don't be running down the ghouls.
Let's get out of here, Mark.
Yes, I'm back off to the graveyard, etc., etc., etc.
I'm off to buy a Switch.
Bye!
Bye!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.